Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Welcome to the new and improved. Can I use that word, new and improved? Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. You've seen the new logo. You've seen the new intro music. You've heard the new intro music. I'm still Matt. That's still Alex, and we still are your hosts on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. Alex, we've got Pete Bentman from the Shant NFL Club, Pittsburgh Steelers fan, on the show today. Looking forward to it.
The Steelers, it seems like we play them all the time now, so it's definitely an interesting matchup because of Ben Roethlisberger now. So it's not going to be Duck Hodges. It's not going to be easy. Is he healthy? Is he not? I don't know. We'll find out, right?
Yeah, we will. So sit back, enjoy if you're watching this on YouTube, sit back and listen with the volume turned up if you're listening on audio to our interview with Pete Bentman, Shant NFL, about the Pittsburgh Steelers season.
And we're joined on the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues by Shant NFL host Pete Bentman. Pete, how you doing, my friend?
Hi, Pete.
Yes. Doing very good. Hey, Alex. Thanks, Matt, for inviting me onto your show. I am a little bit nervous, I've got to say. As I was saying to you guys, I'm still relatively novice in the footballing world compared to you guys, so I have to kind of bow down to your supremacy, but hopefully I'll do your programme justice. It's quite nice to not be doing this alongside my buddy, the Shant Club president, Nick Cork, so it's quite nice to sort of lose him for a night. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys inviting me on.
And I've actually been on, I was on your show about a month or so ago, the AFC East discussion, which I thought went pretty well. So
yeah,
it's good to have you. It's good to have you on the show.
Appreciate the invite.
Well, I think the most important question for the Bills-Steelers matchup is Ben Roethlisberger, right? How is he doing? Has he lost the 300 or so pounds he needs to? Is it just the beard? Is he in shape? How's Ben?
I mean, I don't know. I'm as excited as Juju Smith-Schuster is right now. I mean, having someone like that looking fit and trim. I mean, I'm sure you all saw the social media post that went out that Ben is back. We're certainly hoping that we've got the 2018 Ben. I know, obviously, he had Antonio Brown to throw to. Obviously, he's now decided to not come back to football, which is a massive shame. But yeah, I mean, I think we're certainly hoping that even a 75% fit Ben Roethlisberger is going to be what we had, you know, better than what we had last season. So we're not going to know until he comes back, and certainly sort of training camp sort of starts, how he's actually sort of doing, but all things seem positive. And yeah, I mean, the guy looks trim, he looks good, he looks fit. And I'm sure there's probably no one more eager to start the season than Big Ben 7.
I mean, anything's better than Duck Hodges.
Yeah, I mean, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, they pretty much stunk the place out last year. So we certainly don't want to go another season with either of those guys behind centre. So fingers crossed we can keep him fit. Obviously, last time he was fit for 16 games, he did throw for over 5,000 yards. So fingers crossed, with the defense that we've got, if we can get some sort of offense going, we're gonna be heading to the playoffs for sure.
I think I have to eat humble pie because the year Rudolph came out, I actually was really high on him. So I'm gonna have to eat humble pie. There's a few people I know that actually said that you're having a laugh. He's not that good a player, but I still see good in him. But yeah. You'd be glad to get a Big Ben back, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously would be the next one to sort of come through after Ben. Obviously, Mike Tomlin's felt the kid coming out of Oklahoma State was going to sort of do well. But there's still time. And I don't think anybody thought that he was going to be coming in last season. So this isn't the sort of finished product for Rudolph. So possibly he's now had a few games. He's now going to sit back behind Ben. So who knows, in a couple of years' time, when sort of Ben decides to hang his cleats up, he may be a different player. He just needs to watch out for Myles Garrett's helmet.
you mentioned hanging up the cleats. Well, looking at the quarterbacks that came out of that draft class, Eli is now retired. Philip Rivers still hanging on. How much do you think he still has in the tank?
I guess we've just got to look at TB12, and that guy's still chucking him out there at 43. So if we can get another 5 years out of Big Ben, I'm sure all Steelers fans are going to be massively happy. But I think for as long as the rules keep changing to protect the quarterback, then maybe we'll sort of be able to keep him for a few more years. But they're really sort of, there was a few sort of guys out there that they possibly could have picked up, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston. They obviously feel happy with what they've got. They obviously feel they're going to get a few more years out of Ben. So they're not making any sort of panics. Like I say, they've already drafted Rudolph in. So again, maybe a little bit too early for him to come in. But yeah, you know, who knows? They might end up having to sort of make a decision to sort of possibly sort of push up the draft and sort of get a half-decent QB. But now is the sort of time to make sure they've got someone sitting behind Ben, because if Ben can have a couple of years, they need to sort of be learning from him to sort of be able to progress. I think just sort of getting someone and throwing them straight in, it's not going to be sort of too easy. But yeah, if we can get another 2 years out of him, which I think sort of people are hoping for, I think we'll be more than happy. But if he can go till he's 43, we'll be absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, and this year's going to be good for at least quarterbacks in the first round, because you're going to have at least four or five in there. So there's always a chance, especially in the first round, a few more in the second, maybe third. So there's always that chance to get that heir apparent. But going on, obviously, your off-season, draft, free agency, good, bad, in between, what would you say?
If we start on the draft, I don't think sort of too many people know how well their draft went until a year, 2 years down the line. But certainly on paper, we did the main business by trading for Minka Fitzpatrick. Right. So we lost our first round draft pick there. And again, that was a little bit of a, is it the right decision? Obviously, now the guy made it to the Pro Bowl. That was the right decision to make. And the guy looks brilliant and made a hell of a difference to our defense last season when he came in week three. So we had no first round pick. Then obviously we picked up in a second round Chase Claypool, pick number 49. Now, it was a pretty wide receiver heavy draft this year. I mean, there were 10 guys that came out at wide receiver before Chase Claypool. Which obviously shows a sort of depth this year. But the reason they sort of, I felt that they wanted to sort of go with this kid from Notre Dame is he's 6'4". He's a real sort of big guy and really kind of fits in the mold in between sort of Ebron and a tight end, James Washington, wide receiver. So it just gives us a different sort of build set. The guy seems to be good at blocking. He's Notre Dame coach said that he needs to improve his route running, which is obviously going to need to be done. But sort of on all accounts, we needed, Big Ben needs some big targets, which I guess is why we've brought in Ebron. We've gone for Chase Claypool, and we've got speed guys like Juju, like Deontay Johnson. So they did need to replace Antonio Brown. This guy may not sort of be coming in for every sort of single snap this year, but I definitely think it's going to be something to build, and it's going to give us a few different looks. And looking at his tape, he looks like a pretty good sort of bet. Then sort of going into the next draft pick was Alex Highsmith. It's the linebacker. I think we're feeling that we're probably going to be losing Bud Dupree next season, because I don't think we're going to be able to sort of afford signing TJ Watt. Obviously, he's going to be sort of due another contract or a new contract next year. So we'll probably lose Bud Dupree. So we did need to strengthen up on the linebacker position. He looks good, a good pass rusher. So hopefully he will sort of learn the system behind a couple of really sort of good outside linebackers. So hopefully he will sort of do well. And then pretty much from sort of there on in, I think they were just kind of filling gaps that were needed on the roster.
Right.
We saw Kevin Dotson, who I believe from Louisiana Tech, I think he was, or Lafayette, yeah. Something like that.
Louisiana Lafayette, that's the one.
Yeah, but again, sort of filling gaps. We brought a safety in. And also there was a couple of guys from Maryland. I believe Mike Tomlin's son actually goes to Maryland. So I think he maybe had a bit of inside information there.
always handy.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of brought in a running back, which again was what we kind of needed. He's a smaller player. He's a downhill sort of runner. Just a bit of sort of pace. Obviously, James Conner's a bit of a bruiser. Sort of going through the tackle. This guy seems to sort of be a bit more sort of burst of pace. If he sort of finds a gap, he's going to take it all the way. The guy's name does elude me.
Olsen, isn't it? You're talking about the rookie.
He's the sort of running back from Maryland who we signed along with Anton Brooks Jr., who was a safety. And then there was a twin brother. Both the twins got picked up in the draft. Carlos Davis, I believe it is. Yeah, Carlos Davis, a defensive tackle from Nebraska. Him and his brother both got drafted. And I remember actually sort of watching the draft and seeing the family. They had the screen in their house and the family was sort of absolutely buzzing that both of their lads got picked up. So that was pretty cool to see. But basically, so the overview is they filled gaps that they needed. They brought in sort of different sort of size players for that position. Probably going to be sort of no one that's going to be setting the world on fire this season, but certainly sort of strengthen where we needed to, and hopefully sort of a couple of these kids do sort of make it. But yeah, it wasn't anything sort of too exciting, obviously. But like I say, hopefully in a year's time we can say that it was a good draft.
Yeah.
Changing subjects real quick, Matt. What are you drinking? What do you got there?
Just some orange juice.
Just orange juice.
Plain orange juice.
No gin or vodka in there. Nothing else. You got the good stuff, Pete?
Just drinking a cup of tea out of the old Pick Six Apparel mug with the Shank Club NFL logo on there. So I'm sure you guys know Pick Six Apparel. They're always pretty good for their team gear, whether you want t-shirts or cups. Shout out to them, boys.
Ooh, good plug.
Alex.
Yeah.
That's a Rosie Lee. It's a cup of Rosie Lee.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We so often I don't understand the British lingo that Matt uses. So that came up on our last show. So with all of your additions, and where's your confidence level going into the season? I mean, what are you expecting?
I mean, I think all of us are certainly hoping that Big Ben stays fit. I'm expecting, looking at the schedule, I'm expecting, well, as a minimum, to make the playoffs. Looking at the schedule, I saw it come out and saw that we had the second easiest schedule. And then I realised that the Baltimore Ravens had the first easiest schedule, which totally sucks.
But
looking at the schedule, it doesn't look too bad. I'm certainly expecting them to go 9-7, possibly 10-6 if they go on a run, potentially more. But there are a few sort of banana skins in there for us. I'm hoping Big Ben stays fit. Players like Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner have a bit of a comeback season. They both were sort of semi-injured in and out. Juju Smith-Schuster all of a sudden become the number one receiver. Obviously, when Antonio Brown was getting double teamed, he had a bit more time. So I think he probably sort of struggled being the number one receiver. So I'm hoping this year, with a better thrower and a few more weapons around us and James Conner staying fit, he may well sort of have a good season. I'm expecting sort of good things from Eric Ebron as well. If we can get the 2018 Pro Bowl player that Andrew Luck was throwing to, then I think he's going to be sort of a serious player down in the red zone alongside sort of Vance McDonald. It's sort of, we needed another sort of tight end to complement Vance McDonald there. So I am expecting sort of big things. I mean, I expected it last year. You know, obviously we were 8-5, looking good to go to the playoffs, and then your boy sort of derailed us at Heinz.
So sorry.
We went, were 8-5, and then you guys to sort of stroll up, and Duck Hodges had two attempts with 2.5 minutes to go and basically sort of threw two picks into the end zone, which just was the story of our season. And then we lost to the Jets, and then we lost to the Ravens, and we just missed the playoffs. But I think as a minimum, if we can keep Ben fit, we're definitely sort of looking like playoff contenders. And if we can go in hot with the defense that we've got, Big Ben looking for his third ring, there's weapons there. There is no reason why we couldn't go all the way, but there are some really strong teams, as we know. So you can't sort of say that they're better than Kansas, they're better than the Ravens, they're better than the Niners, because they're not. But if they can go on a run and keep players fit, you know, anything's possible.
So you say 10-6, 9-7. Where do you have the Bills on your win-loss list? Like, what do you think about this matchup specifically?
Well, I mean, we were talking, obviously, on the Shank Club NFL podcast on the AFC East, and I was saying, obviously, at the time, the Patriots didn't have Cam Newton. Now, I think even with Cam Newton being there, I still think the Bills are the team to beat in the AFC East. Before we did the show with Matt, I did a little bit more research on your teams, and I really enjoyed watching you guys play. And as I was saying, you know, felt that you guys were a little bit unlucky when it came to the playoff game against the Texans. And if it wasn't for the sandwich tackle that he managed to get away from in overtime and make that play, then you guys probably really would have been sort of going to the next game. So you guys are really good. It's certainly a game that I'm not looking forward to sort of going to New York and upstate New York and playing you guys. That's definitely a game that I've penciled in that we're probably not going to be winning. I think it comes pretty late in the year, so it's going to be a crappy cold one, maybe snow, who knows. But you know, I think you guys are going to be good with bringing in sort of Stefon Diggs, is obviously going to make a big difference. And I say, watching tape on you guys, I was really impressed, and I still think that you guys are going to be the team to beat in the AFC East. So potentially I can see maybe the two teams, Steelers and Buffalo, playing each other in the postseason.
Matt, we didn't discuss this yet, though. How do you feel about the Steelers matchup?
It's going to be more interesting. It's going to be a little bit more closer than the actual game it was last year. Obviously,
the game last year was really close, right? Came down to the fourth.
I think it could be closer because you've had Duck Hodges. No disrespect to him, but probably you could throw about four interceptions and still look good.
Well, he's not but say whatever you want, so.
You look at the interceptions in that game, though, they are all the same. They're just sort of slow balls into double coverage, and it was just crazy. And these were passes where he had time to make as well, but and still threw them out there. And like I say, fortunately for us, Chris Boswell played well last year, our kicker, and kept us in a lot of games along with the defense. But even with a fit Big Ben, you guys are still going to give us a game, that's for sure.
Yeah, the defense is probably one of the strongest out there. Obviously, TJ Watt come from that bloodline. Everything else, you've got obviously have Smith Schuster back that game. You'll have probably a fully fit Connor. Obviously, a tight end set. McDonald had a decent game against us. So I think this one could go either way, but I think being at Orchard Park, I'm not going to say you were filled anymore. Being at Orchard Park with Ralph, it's probably going to be really close, but I do see the Bills actually, Bills winning that game. And there goes my internet again. Fuck's sake. There we go. I'm back.
Language. It's important to know to take last season's game into consideration because I think that if Ben plays that game last year, we don't win. We got a lot of help from poor quarterback play by the Steelers. This is a game that, I mean, I haven't done a win-loss record yet, but this is a coin flip game for me. And it's one of the ones where I'm more worried about. Luckily, there's an extra playoff spot this season, because I think that we might need this loss to be able to still make the playoffs. I mean, I'm worried about it. You both say the Bills are going to win. I don't like it. I think that Ben Roethlisberger is the better quarterback right now on paper. who knows? Like you said, late in the season, anything can change. A lot can change. His fitness could change the whole perception of the game. But yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. So just before we go, Pete, two questions. Sure. The player to watch out for and the sleeper pick, the one who you think could make the breakthrough.
Okay. Well, for me, I think that the player to watch out for, even though we're already aware of him, is Minka Fitzpatrick. The guy really sort of makes some serious plays in that secondary. And I think it sort of certainly sort of, you know, it helps the corners out, but he is a real sort of game changer for us. And to sort of, if he can keep getting our offense on and obviously sort of getting the ball back for Ben, I really think sort of Minka Fitzpatrick is the guy to watch out for. I say made the Pro Bowl the season just gone. And I think he's a real sort of game changer. I love the guy. I'm really sort of happy we brought him in. So definitely him for me is a guy to watch out for, even though I think he's already on everybody's radar.
Yeah.
He's a big time player. I think possibly the sleeper. To be honest, we've got Benny Snell. He's the running back. Probably not a lot of people know him. And I think he's going to have a Betty. I think with sort of James Conner sort of there, I think if Benny Snell can have a sort of good season backing him up, I think that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's either going to be him or it's going to be Deontay Johnson. I think he's also sort of going to be the other sort of, you know, you're always going to get everyone talking about Juju. But I think sort of Deontay Johnson is also a player. If, you know, Juju's getting double teamed, he may well sort of find a bit of space. And he looked really good in special teams last year and knows how to break a tackle. So for me, yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick being a sort of go-to guy to sort of watch out for, and the sleeper either Benny Snell or Deontay Johnson for me.
That's awesome. Well, Pete, thank you very much for appearing. Do you want to plug anything? Your show, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anybody can find us on Twitter. It's actually the Shank Club president, Nick Cork, who looks after the Shank Club NFL Twitter. So you can find and DM Nick with there. I'm on there at Pete Bentman 1 on Twitter if you want to sort of have a chat with me. But also YouTube channel, Shank Club NFL, and on Periscope, we do our... It will eventually be a weekly show when the season starts, but at the minute we're just kind of trying to find time in between everything else. But yeah, pretty much on all social media platforms, Shank Club NFL. But yeah, really sort of appreciate you guys inviting me on, Alex. It's really nice to meet you. I'm obviously going to need to get a background like that, because that does look pretty sweet. To be honest, you did actually fool me when you came on here, so fair play to you.
Yeah, I'm recording from the Bills locker room right now. Yeah, I should have a mask on, but I don't. Sorry.
But I really appreciate you guys sort of asking me on, because obviously I'm sure there's probably people that are a lot more up to speed with the Steelers. But as I said, it's my kind of first full season of taking this on, and I'm hoping to become Rookie of the Year, because I'm doing a lot of research and taking a lot on, and I'm really enjoying doing it and enjoying meeting people like yourselves within this NFL community. And it's made me realise that there's some real cool dudes, and with a lot of crap going on in the world, this has been my sort of saviour for all of this, is meeting people like Alex yourself, Matt yourself, and doing things like this. You know, I think we all need a bit of a break away from the tragic events that are happening in the world at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't talk down about yourself. I mean, you said the Bills are going to win, so you're my favourite Steelers fan. So you did a great job. You did a great job.
You can cut that bit right. Cut that bit out.
All right. All right. Thanks for coming on, Pete. It was a blast. Good luck this season.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Take it easy, buddy.
Thank you for listening for this time. Until next time, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Keep sharing your love and support for us on Twitter, for both the group and the podcast. And nothing really else to say than from me and Alex, it's go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart? You don't know anything about work?
No. Huh? No.
That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills!